Seattle's Morning News, Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. A judge has decided to block, for now, the release of those plans that would allow anybody with a 3D printer who knows how to use it to print this one-shot plastic pistol. But is there any point in this since it's so easy to share this kind of thing over the Internet? Let's consult with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. So, first of all, on the legality of this, is there a clear-cut free speech case for Cody Wilson, who posted these plans on the Internet?
No, there isn't. I don't think that Wilson has a particularly strong First Amendment claim here. I mean, he's engaged in commercial activity, receives a lower level of protection than political speech. That doesn't mean it's completely unprotected. There is protection for commercial speech, but there are all kinds of regulations that limit it. And in this case, under federal laws like laws controlling exports, and laws controlling munitions. So I think that the federal government had a pretty good argument. Having said that, they chose to settle the case, which may signal that they thought they might lose if the case went up.
Well, the reason for the export restrictions when it comes to weapons, as I understand it, is you can't export weapons of war, and they determined that this little one-shot plastic gun has no strategic military value whatsoever.
Yeah, unless you want to give it to your enemies so that they'll then blow their hands off when they try to use it, right?
That's, actually not a bad idea.
Now, the company Defense Distributed, which is the subject of this lawsuit, has greater ambitions than that little one-shot pistol that we've all seen pictures of now. They that was from back in 2013. They now say that they want to release plans for an AR-15 receiver, which is sort of the heart of any gun, the gun receiver with the trigger and the bullets and so forth are. So, it's possible that as the technology improves with 3D printing, both in terms of the materials, and even the software used to run the printer, that more sophisticated weapons will be easier to produce. And of course, the big concern with plastic weapons is they're hard to trace or hard to detect in a metal detector.
Right. Well, I know something about the AR-15 thing because I talked with Cody Wilson a couple of years ago, and he's been selling that's how he makes his money. He sells milling machines, which make actual metal AR-15 receivers, which when you add the other parts that are actually unrestricted, you can have a working AR-15 with no serial number. Now, we should point out that these guns, if you were to make one with your own plans, are completely legal under a loophole in the law. They don't have to have a registration number. You can make your own guns as long as you don't sell it, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And this is the bigger issue, and I think this issue needs more attention. And there's a loophole in the 1968 law that allows you to make your own weapons as long as you keep it. You don't try to sell it or put it into the stream of commerce. Of course, enforcing that is very difficult. But but there it is. I mean, people have been making their own weapons without 3D printers for a while. After all, what is a gun? It's made out of, you can make it out of metal and even existing metal components. And except for the receiver, you can make the other parts and sell them.
Yeah.
This is the 80% rule, people are making 80%. So this is a big concern, and yet we don't see – I mean, I don't know how many homemade weapons we're actually seeing. After all, it's so easy to go out and buy a firearm, probably for a lot less money than it would take to buy all the equipment required to make one at home.
Right. But from what I understand, after the Parkland shooting, when the gun hobbyists were concerned that their hobby was essentially going to be banned, they started buying Cody's milling machines started developing the skills to build their own receivers so they could build their own guns. And I read one piece in Slate where there's probably 100,000 of these unregistered guns out there, which are completely legal as long as they're not sold. So let me ask you, is that really a loophole, or is that your Second Amendment right we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question. It arguably is the most fundamental right, which is to protect yourself. If you need to make your own weapon to do it, you should be allowed to do so. It gets a lot trickier, though, when you talk about how you actually keep people from transferring those weapons to other folks. Of course, at that point, you're committing a federal crime. So hopefully it's not happening very often. So I agree with the Slate article's analysis that the do-it-yourself movement gets new life and expands every time there's a serious proposal to significantly limit firearms possession. And given the expansion of technology and how easily available it is, not just 3D printers, but all kinds of at-home devices like milling machines. I mean, who would have thought years ago you could have a milling machine of your own for $2,000 to mill aluminum blocks into gun receivers? So, you know, it does remind us of the iron law of unintended consequences, where we try to put a cap on some activity we don't deem to be desirable, only to see it pop up in another even more dangerous way.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Dave.